Grace and peace be to you. In the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. While each of the four gospel accounts of the life, death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus share much in common, they also have their own unique stories and messages for us to hear. Today's gospel reading from Matthew is one such example, as it recalls the unique visit of the Magi to the Christ child, announcing the beginning of the season of Epiphany. Christmas has come and gone, and we now begin the season of Epiphany. The word Epiphany is a Greek word. It's not a word we use too much nowadays, is it? In English, it means being manifest. That's cleared it up for you, hasn't it? Manifest. So I went to the dictionary to find out what that meant. And I love the definition I found. It was the first one. To be manifest means to show plainly to eye and ear. That's good. I like that. It's nice and simple, not confusing, to show plainly to eye and ear. Or to eye and mind, actually. Epiphany is sometimes referred to as the season of light. And dare I add the phrase that during the Epiphany season, we hope that God will throw some light on the subject of Epiphany, which is indeed our Lord Jesus. Epiphany, those texts associated with Epiphany, focus on those events in our Lord Jesus' life, such as the visit of the Magi, such as the baptism of our Lord Jesus, and our Lord's Transfiguration. There are some others, but they are the key ones. You know, with Christmas out of the way and the world is keen to get on with the new year, and so it pays little or no attention to the season of Epiphany. And yet, strangely enough, in the very, very early years of the Christian church, Epiphany was celebrated greatly amongst the new Christians. And Christmas, well, it didn't show up for donkey's ages after that. The big occasion was then Epiphany. But back to our text. From this one and only account, that is the visit of the Magi, have arisen certain myths and misunderstandings, interpretations of what did and what did not take place. And the classical example is that there were three wise men from the east, based upon the fact that there were three gifts offered to the baby Jesus: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Pastor once told me one of the nativity scenes that he had in his parish one year, somehow or other, a fourth king crept onto the scene. He said that wasn't a disaster, but the number of people who commented at the fact that four had made the scene instead of three was the main focus of what they saw out of the nativity scene. Concerning, isn't it? I wonder whether Pastor Ben at the next nativity scene, he might like to cut it down to two and see whether anyone notices. Another myth is that the Magi visited Jesus on the night of his birth in the stable, whereas our gospel says, and clearly says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. There's another one I'm going to suggest to Pastor Ben, that after the nativity scene, no wise men at all, telling you all to come back in about 7 or 8 months' time and the wise men will turn up. If you happen to be in Germany and visit the Cathedral of Cologne, you will see there is a shrine there for the three kings. And you will be told that their names are Caspar from Tarsus, Balthazar from Ethiopia, and Melchior from Arabia. I don't know whether you knew that, but that's what you'll be told. I was also going to tell you, with a bit further research, I discovered the names of their camels, which were Lumpy, Grumpy and Stumpy. But I thought that might be pushing the myth a bit too far. Why do we have to change a simple, or add to a simple and truthful account to make it something better, supposedly better, something more exciting, more detailed, more personally fulfilling perhaps? Why do we do that? Why do we find it so difficult just to hear the word of God as God has revealed it? Even our Lutheran church, a church founded on the richness of the sacredness of the word of God, struggles to hear the epiphanies that God has declared so that his people might hear and see plainly with eye and mind the truths of his divine word. Rather, in this so-called enlightened age of information and technology, we meticulously look at God's word from this way, from that way, turning it upside down, inside out, hoping to get a better view. Dare I suggest, using the tainted eyes of our own 21st century needs. But back to Matthew. Concerning our gospel reading from Matthew, the Epiphany visit of the Magi to Jesus, the word of God says not a thing about the names of the wise men, says nothing about how many there were, and says nothing about where they came from, other than from the east. Hear and listen to what the word of God simply says in verse 1, and I quote, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.'" And in verse 11 in that same chapter, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him." The Magi said, "We have come to worship him." That's what you and I have been doing this morning. That's what we are doing now. We have come to worship our God. We have confessed our sins to the Lord. We have declared our faith in Jesus Christ. We have received his forgiveness in the words of the absolution. We are embraced by the Holy Spirit to work the love of God in our lives. And we have lifted up our voices in prayer and praise and in song. And we will lay at our feet, and we will lay at the feet of Jesus our gifts of thanks to God for his many blessings as we bring forth our offering to him. The Magi laid their gifts at the feet of Jesus, and we are told they worshipped him. Gifts which already pointed to the day when Jesus would be nailed upon a cross, where he'd be raised up in a glory that gold could never reflect. Sending forth a prayer to heaven that incense could never carry. Buried as a sacrifice that myrrh could never make sweeter. Yet those grand and memorable gifts of the Magi could never match the gifts that Jesus offers to us each and time, each and every time we come to worship him. As we gather around the Lord's table, Jesus has a gift for you and for me. It is a gift of forgiveness. It is the gift of salvation. It is the gift of eternal life. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the gift of himself in the body, his body and blood in the bread and wine that we eat and drink. In the living word of God, we encounter God's free gift of grace and mercy. And so, just like the Magi, we have come to worship him. In the season of Epiphany, the season of light, the visit of the Magi, the baptism of Jesus and Jesus' transfiguration, good people of St. Mark's, I encourage you to listen to what God has to say about this Jesus, his beloved Son. Stay focused on what God has done and is doing through Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit right here now, this moment in our time of worship. Don't be distracted by trying to fill in answers to questions that don't embrace God's will and purpose for you. But let God shine his light on Jesus. You know, despite the mists and the mysteries that some would cloud the visit of the Magi, this first Epiphany is indeed pure grace, good news, as it announces to the world the first Gentiles ever to worship the Son of God. And that's what we are doing. That is what has been done down through the ages to this very day. People have gathered to worship our Lord Jesus. You know, like the Magi, you bring to Jesus your best gift of all when you come to worship him. Did you know that? That's the best gift you can bring him. Your presence, your devotion, your love. When you do that, in the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are more precious to God than gold, frankincense, and myrrh could ever be. Praise be to God. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.